Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who wanted to be in porn but didn't have the acting chops, Pete Schwabba.
I haven't given up. I'm still taking lessons. Hey, Wisconsin. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night. Coming to you live from beautiful downtown Green Bay, broadcasting statewide. If you're with us on the stream, we welcome you. And we will be live on the radio as well tonight at from 8 to 9. Right now on Civic Media, most stations, there is continuing political coverage of the RNC. We are doing an excellent job with that, but it has limited our audience a bit this first hour. But if you're joining us on the stream, it's great to have you with us. Sherry is joining us. Hi, Sherry. Movies. Yes, Sherry. This is a What to Watch Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. So if you are listening, and I did it again, Conrad. If you are listening, well, yeah. Please share with us what you are going to watch this weekend, and we will read it on the air at 8:20. Are you going to see a blockbuster movie? Are you going to stay home and binge watch something? Let us know, and we will share your suggestions with other listeners at 8:20. A What to Watch Thursday. Some sad news today. Comedian Bob Newhart passed away actually today at his home, as I understand it, from a series of small illnesses. Bob was 94 years old. We'll do more of a tribute to Bob tomorrow when we have more time. And huge loss. Such a hilarious stand-up comedian. Grammy-winning stand-up comedian. The first comedian ever to have an album reach number one on the Billboard charts, and that was in the early 1960s, went on to have two great sitcoms, The Bob Newhart Show and Newhart, that ran for a combined 16 seasons. Just an absolute comedy legend passing away today at the age of 94. Right now, in the second hour, by the way, Abby Novak will be here to talk about Light the Night, Appleton at 8:05, and Johnny Beaner joins me at 8:15. That's tonight on Nightlight. Right now, we are going to talk with Gigi New. This is an interview we had a couple weeks ago with the actress turned writer, Gigi New. All right, so catch me up. What the heck have you been up to? You were an actress at one point. Am I wrong?
For like a split second, Pete. I went to school for acting. Then moved to Chicago, and I, was doing my theater thing, but I was also mostly waiting tables, as you well know. That's where we met.
Yeah.
And then I moved to LA and did try my hand at acting. Had an agent, auditioned and everything. Thing is, I'm Latin. I'm Panamanian and Italian. And so when I was going out for auditions, they would go, can you do that with an accent? I'm like, I don't know. What accent? What are you talking about? And they were like, oh, can you play the maid, or can you play the, and I was like, oh my God, this is awful. This is not really what I want to do. I had a story, and I won't bore you with it, but it is probably the best.
I won't bore you with it, and then
I'll say this was probably the best story of my entire life. And I wrote it as just a lark because I didn't have anything else to do. And my boyfriend, now husband at the time, so that is the best story I've ever heard. And you should write that down. I did. I gave it to a friend of mine who gave it to his agent. The agent loved it. It was really a Cinderella story. Universal wanted to move with it. It was just silly.
That's like the Hollywood fantasy sort of story. You got a script, give it to your friend, and they pass it on, and something actually happens with it. Because that happens a lot where things don't go anywhere.
Oh, gosh. Dead end. And it started to just make its way around town, and people thought it was fresh and funny. It didn't get made, but it did start my career. It did do that.
As a writer. Mm-hmm. That's so cool. So, all right. So let's take people back a little bit. You said you were a waitress. I was a comedian. You worked at a club called the Funny Firm in Chicago. Yeah. And most of the time when you see a waitress in Chicago or like New York, you just think, well, or a waiter for that matter, they're probably trying to act. That's right. But that was a fun staff you guys had there. It was just a great club.
Best time.
Yeah. So what, do you have any fun memories of that, of your time there working with all these great comics?
Oh my God. Well, the comics, gosh, right? There was That's where I met Ray Romano. That's where I met, you know, Bill Hicks. That's where I, you know, just Richard Cheney. I mean, they all just were Paula Poundstone. They were all just at the top of their game. And, and we just had a ball with them because there was, I have to say, the comedian's life is, as you know, it's just not easy. And you're just always trying to, you know, how can I get the joke? How can I do that? How can I do it different? And so there was just a real deep respect, I think, on both sides. We really respected the comedians and they really respected us. We weren't just kind of like these servers, you know?
Right.
So it was just great. And so I remember this one night, and it was Ron Schott, and God bless him.
Oh, I remember,
you know,
Ron,
may
sure.
rest in peace. And he was just, he just would either go real long, and you didn't know when he was coming off, so you didn't know if you could get in another round or not, or he would just get off whenever he felt like it. And this one night, we all had our drinks, like we were in the middle of a shift and trying to get more drinks out. Anyway, he decided he was done.
He bails.
And he was like, so good night, everybody. And we were like, what? Wait, what? And I mean, that place went into lockdown. Oh, you know, the owner was just like, nobody lazy. We're going to get our money. It was just, we couldn't print the tricks.
No dine and dashers.
Oh man, that was one of the most afraid I've ever been because all I could see was my rent like going out the door.
Right.
It was just crazy.
You know, it's funny, Gigi, you mentioned Bill Hicks and Richard Jenny. I became pretty good friends with Richard Jenny and he was really good to me. And Bill Hicks, I have a memory of working with him in Milwaukee. And for those of you who don't know, Bill Hicks was a very edgy comedian, kind of cut from the same cloth as like a Lenny Bruce. I've heard that comparison a lot of times. Yes. And I was kind of intimidated by him. Like they gave him the condo in Milwaukee. I worked with him at the Milwaukee Comedy Cafe
and they
put me somewhere else, but I ended up over there between shows for some reason. He wanted to show me a guitar or something and we're hanging out. And after the show, he says, you know what? He goes, if you were a real pal, and I didn't know him that well, he was just being nice, but he goes, if you were a real pal, you drive me to Maxwell Street in Chicago so I could get one of those Polish sausages right now. Okay, Gigi, it's like 1:30 or 2 in the morning. And I'm like, and I had a couple drinks. I'm like, I'm not going. I go, no, Bill, I'm sorry. I'd love to, but I can't. And I didn't do it. He was gone. He passed away like 3 months later. He died of, I think, pancreatic cancer. And I was like, you know, it was one of those moments where I'm like, I wish I would have just gone. I would have had 3 hours in the car with this comedy legend.
Yeah,
and it's just like one of those things. Yeah. I didn't capture the moment. I really did not want to drive to Chicago at 2 o'clock in the morning.
No.
And I don't know that he expected me to, but anyway.
Nicest guy too.
Very nice guy.
He and Brian Regan, nicest.
Oh man, Regan's great.
So fantastic.
One of my all-time favorites. So, okay. So you worked on this show recently called The Garcias.
I did.
And I just remember you, I don't know if it was a Facebook post or you just told me via a Facebook message or whatever, like it was really difficult because of when you were shooting it and where you were shooting it. But I did notice when I looked on IMDb, you worked with Joey Gutierrez, another friend of ours and a Chicago comedian and a really good guy. How cool was that?
Yes. Okay. First of all, he's like one of my dearest friends right now.
Oh, nice.
I have to say your name has come up in terms of just some of our conversation. And so likewise, he just thinks you are top of the rock.
Really?
Yeah, he does. He really does. Nicest guy. So yes. So I got a chance to work with him and we just hit it off. And actually the whole staff, there's only four of us because it was such a small room and it was over Zoom. But I'll walk that back in just a bit. But anyway, Joey and I just became fast friends and he and I are working on a project together that we found off of working the Garcias.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
He ran the show Still Standing, if I remember correctly. And he worked on another big, some of the Chuck Lorre shows maybe that he worked on.
He didn't do Chuck Lorre. He did Greg Garcia. He was on Tim Doyle. He was on Hope and Raising Hope. He was on The Kids Are All Right. He did a show that a friend here in Westport, who I'm dear friends with, did Yes Dear. And He was on that for a while. So he's just had a real
Drew Carey show. That's the other one I couldn't think of.
And Drew Carey, he was on Drew Carey, and he was on Martin. And so he, so lots and lots. But he did create Still Standing, and then he was head writer on The Garcias. Yeah, great guy. So funny. I mean, one of the funniest people I've ever met.
My guest is Gigi News. She is a writer and a former actress, which I just found out tonight, but a very accomplished writer and a very, just a good person, Gigi. You're one of the nicer people I've met in this business. And so tell us about The Garcias. And I think you said you filmed it, tried to film it during the pandemic in Cancun.
Oh, yeah, in Cancun. Oh, yes. Well, first of all, The Garcias was off of, was kind of like a, not necessarily a reboot of the show that I worked on called The Brothers Garcia. That was on Nickelodeon. And then, so The Garcias was on HBO. At the time, it was HBO Max.
Okay.
And so The Garcias was the kids grown up. And then the parents, who are now grandparents.
Okay.
And so so they're all doing quite well. And we shot it in Cancun. It was during the pandemic. We were all masked. That was a challenge. It was funny because it was so hot. It was so hot. But but it was shot on a resort in a resort. But the resort was also like, it had a school. It was like the biggest resort I've ever seen. And lots of gates. And we were told that we were fine within the resort area, the luxury resort, but they couldn't be responsible for us if we went outside of the resort. Like,
oh,
they couldn't be responsible for what would happen to us.
Like, for your safety.
And we're like, huh, that's kind of, and Joey goes, I've never been told that. And I worked in Van Nuys, and I've never been told that. So it was just little things like at one point we did have to cross a highway, and I was with one of the PAs and he was like, come on, let's go. And I'm like, oh, we're going to take a car, right? We're going to take a car. And he's like, no, we're going to take this. And we were in a golf cart. And I was like, no, we're in a golf cart. This is not a car. We can't cross a highway in a golf cart. And he was like, oh, yeah, come on, let's do it. And I was just like, I was white knuckled at a table read, snakes into the table read. You know, I mean, it was bananas.
Oh,
it was
my bananas. Gosh.
But it was, you know, and it was real quick. Everything had to be done like real fast, you know, and things would pivot on a dime. It was,
So What to Watch Thursday. Great to have you with us on this, man, on this gorgeous Thursday night. I hope it's beautiful in whatever part of our wonderful state you are in here in Wisconsin. We have, this is the What to Watch Thursday, folks, so you can get your suggestions in. If you're listening on the stream right now, you're welcome to text them on the stream or on the text line at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We will be back on the radio live at 8 o'clock tonight, at which point we will welcome Abby Novak, who will tell us a little bit about Light the Night Downtown Appleton. That is coming up this weekend. And then comedian Johnny Beaner joins us shortly after that. We'll talk to Johnny about upcoming dates he has, and we'll talk a little bit about Bob Newhart and his legacy. So that's coming up in hour number two. Right now, if you want to get your suggestion in or tell us what you will watch, share with us what you're going to watch this weekend. Blockbuster movie in the theaters? You going to binge watch something? So much to choose from. The Emmy nominations just came out. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And we'll discuss it here at Nightlight. Right now, we are going to pivot here and play part of an interview I did with actor Jan Janssen. He's a Wisconsin native, and he has had a very nice run on the show The Rookie for years now. And he sat down with us recently here at Nightlight, and here is part of that interview. Tell me a little bit about your background. What was your life like here? How did you end up on the West Coast?
I mean, I'm originally from Marshfield, Wisconsin, so shout out to my hometown right away.
Nice.
I ended up kind of getting into some acting in a community college in Rochester, Minnesota, and did some theater there for a little bit, kind of that Hollywood dreams kind of started to take place, and got into some screenwriting, some different things like that. And in 2005, I made a music video for American Idol, and they had a contest, actually 2004 and 2005, where you could make a music video, and they'd had a little contest online. People voted each week, just like they vote for contestants. And in 2004, I was the runner-up nationwide. 2005, I made a different music video and ended up winning that, nice. Which actually took me to Hollywood for my very first time I ever got to go to Hollywood, winning that contest. So cool. That was my first time setting foot in Hollywood. And I ended up working at Channel 7 WSAW in Wausau, doing movie reviews and running cameras there for a couple years. And that's actually, Pete, when the first time I ever heard about you was when you did Godfather of Green Bay. I remember promoting it on my show back then. So
have we met? Did we
kind of come full circle?
Did we meet in Wausau?
I don't know if we did or not. I can't remember even where I saw that. If I drove to Green Bay to see your film or how. Yeah, I remember seeing it on the big screen somewhere. You must have screened it somewhere. I saw it.
Yeah, I've been racking my brain. They used to have these Wisconsin get-togethers too. When I lived in LA for almost 15 years, and they would have like a big brat fest at the Universal Hilton or something like that, you know, and all these people from Wisconsin would go, and it was fun. I know I met you somewhere along the line, but anyway, I remember being at WSAW. That's kind of cool. So
sure, and that might have been it. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. So when did you, that's different. Making a video is different, Jan. When did you realize you wanted to be an actor? And when did you think I can do this?
I mean, it was just doing, I played football through high school and always had a football dream, had an injury in high school that I was like, okay, I guess football's not going to be my life dream. And then I fell into acting, just taking it as a class in Rochester, Minnesota. And the director of that, the person who ran the class, was directing a stage play and said, hey, you should audition. And I'm like, I'm not an actor. I'm just taking this as an elective. And he's like, ah, give it a shot. So I did. He cast me in it. And from the second I got on stage, there was this kind of synchronicity between football, playing sports, and theater and acting. It was like your directors, your head coach, your castmates are your teammates. The plays that you run on the field are the blocking you get on stage. It was just, there was something. And then you have the audience reaction in live theater that you get when you're on a football field and you make a good play, the audience is cheering for you there. So there was something about that that really, I was like, wow, I can walk away from football and this could be my path. And I'm thankful that happened in that way. And then just the Hollywood thing kind of, you know, it was like, well, where can I do this? And the, you know, loving movies and everything, I'm like, hey, let's go big.
And you're not going to get blindsided on stage either in a bad concussion.
It's a little safer, yeah. Little controlled. Even if a person's doing stunts, there's a little control to that.
So tell me, Jan, you said you grew up in Marshfield. You went out to L.A. to do the video, and that was the first time you set foot out there. But moving out there is a big deal, and a lot of people just don't want to pull the trigger. They're like, well, I'll see what I can do here. And that's fine, too. But what made you – tell us how you forged a path from Marshfield to Hollywood to make it your home.
One day I was working at Channel 7 in Wausau, and they knew that was my dream. They knew that was where I wanted to go and eventually be. Like I said, I was just reviewing movies for them, you know, kind of like a 5 o'clock Friday night segment. And one day I was in the editing bay putting a little package together for somebody else, for one of the reporters. And I was just like, okay, it's time. Something just triggered that day. And it's like, you know, enough talking about it. Let's do it. And I went in, told the station manager, and just said, hey, I'm leaving in a month. I'm giving you my notice now. And literally my last day was June 1st of 2007 at the station. And June 8th, 2007 was my first day in Hollywood. So,
wow.
I'm coming up on 17 years this in June 8th. It'll be, so
good for you, man. Thanks.
Thankful to be there. So thankful to still be there, I should say.
You got that cop look. You got the hair. You must have walked into that casting call and like, all right, we're doing something with this guy. The Rookie, 31 episodes. Not too shabby, buddy. That's pretty impressive. Tell us about The Rookie.
Yeah, The Rookie. I mean, I did a show called Castle. I worked on a show called Castle for 8 seasons. Was lucky to kind of be in there. I started on the 3rd episode of that series and worked all 8 seasons on that.
Nice.
And then one of the writers and ended up being kind of like a co-showrunner of Castle and also the lead actor, Nathan Fillion. They, Alexi Hawley was the writer. Alexi ended up creating The Rookie after Castle wrapped. And on Castle, I mean, I've done a lot of background work. That's mostly what I do in LA. You know, just background on a lot of different shows, but I was lucky to have a great run on Castle. And then when The Rookie started up, they asked me to come along and join them on that. So from day one, of the pilot, I was there on The Rookie, and, little by little, as the seasons have gone along, I've gotten, you know, some speaking parts, and, more as we've gotten into the last couple seasons. The show itself just hit 100 episodes this past season. We had a shortened 10 episode season, because of the writers and actors strikes last summer. So we only had a short, but really powerful and good 10 episode season for season 6. And, we hit 100 episodes in that. So it's great to be a part of a show that runs that long, hits that landmark. It's just a great achievement for any show. But for our show, I mean, I'm proud for everybody involved, because it's a great family. It's a great group of people there.
Yeah, and that is the voice of Jan Jansen. He's an actor who is a Wisconsin native, but he's been in L.A., he says, for almost 17 years. He's been on the show Castle, and now The Rookie, which just wrapped up. And put you in misery. Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. So Sherry says she wants suggestions for old, forget what the term is, classics, Sherry? Suspense movies that she can watch on Prime or Roku. I don't know if we can be that specific, Sherry, but we'll certainly give you, I can think of some that I just watched. I think if you're a Hitchcock fan, check out North by Northwest. That really holds up as classic films go, as well as Rear Window. And I don't know how far you want to go back, Sherry, but we could take suggestions too if people want to help Sherry out with some suggestions there for some older suspense movies. It is a What to Watch Thursday. Let us know what you plan on watching this weekend, whether it's in the theaters or at home with an ice cold beer or iced tea. Let us know what you plan on watching this beautiful summer weekend. In hour number two tonight, we will be back live on the radio, and Abby Novak will join us. She's the marketing director for Downtown Appleton, and she will join us to discuss Light the Night at 8:05. And then the hilarious Johnny Beaner joins us at about 8:15, 8:20, right in there. We'll talk to Johnny about upcoming dates he has and the legacy of Bob Newhart. Right now, we are going to continue our sort of greatest hits here of interviews. About a month and a half ago, I sat down with local legend Charlie Behrens. And we had a nice talk about stand-up comedy, the Man at the Walk Minute, and all the things that Charlie has going on in his life. Hey, so it's great to meet you. It's great to have you on the show. You were in my adopted hometown recently of Marinette, Menominee, doing some diving, as I understand it. How did that go?
Well, it went really good. I went out with Ed the Diver.
Yeah.
Great fella. And we went out there about an hour in the river on the Wisconsin side of the river, and pulled out what must have been probably 150 lures that, you know, you guys have lost out there. And so, and plus some trash here and there. Ed's a great guy. He cleans up the rivers.
Yeah.
And in the process of cleaning them up, he finds a lot of great fishing lures. He then refinishes them and sells them again. So you guys should follow him, Ed the Diver, on Instagram and whatnot. Great fella.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's been on the show, and some of the stuff he's done is so cool, and his videos are great. Like, he's, you know, showing videos of himself petting a sturgeon and showing these little sea creatures I've never even seen before, so.
Yeah, what I like about him is he gives a real connection to, like, the waterways and gets people thinking about it in a different way, which I think is great.
Absolutely. So, all right, so I got to tell you, one of the first videos I saw that you, I don't know if it was one of your first videos, one of the first ones I saw, you were crossing the street in New York City, and you said, in your awesome Wisconsin accent, watch for deer. I stopped laughing. I stopped laughing a week ago Tuesday. But how cool is it, and how difficult was it to shoot a YouTube video on the streets of New York City?
Oh, honestly, not that difficult, believe it or not, because, you know, I was not even in the top five strangest things going on in New York at any given place at any given time. You know, that's, there are people doing stuff all over that city. So you can really do whatever you want, honestly, and people will be like, oh, it's New York, I suppose. They say it with a harder accent, though.
Right. Know? Right. Absolutely. You and I, actually, I don't know if you know this, we have a lot in common. I have well over 200 Twitter followers, and you have well over 2 million on YouTube. We should compare notes sometime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should. It's just a matter of zeros in that regard.
Yeah, I'll give you a few pointers. How long did it take you? You're like a YouTube, you're a YouTube phenom. I wasn't overstating that. That's incredible. How long, you haven't even been at stand-up that long. So, like, how long did that take you to get that kind of a following?
Really, when I started posting in, on a regular basis, we started off with the Manitowoc Minute in 2017. And I was posting before that. I was working this job. I was like, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to do my own thing. So I kind of made it my mission to say, all right, every week I'm going to do a stand-up, or not a stand-up, every week I'm going to do a sketch video until something takes off. And I did a bunch of them, and none of them took off. But then I did the Manitowoc Minute, and that took off. And so I kept doing that for over a year, or about a year, maybe more than a year. I can't remember. And then I started branching off into sketch. And then at that time, too, I was also doing stand-up. And within 6 months of doing the first Manitowoc Minute video, I mean, I started selling tickets for stand-up. I got really lucky, and I think it happened at the right time. And I think there weren't a lot of people doing what I was doing. That was kind of the recipe for something really unique and really life-changing for me.
Well, and for your fans too, it's just, I mean, I was hearing about it before I even heard of you. Like, people were literally, it spread that fast. I was like, man, I got to check this out. You said you were working something else. What were you doing before you did that? What did you have, like, a day job or something?
Oh yeah, I had a lot of day jobs, I'll tell you that much. I was at that point doing, like, red carpet stuff, and I was like a producer doing news. I was in the news game. Local news, comedy news, YouTube news, business reporting, all sorts of news jobs that, and that was the basis for the Manitowoc Minute, because I had all this, at all these gigs I was doing, the common theme was that my accent was not really conducive with professional journalism all the time. So I just kind of doubled down on that, and that's where the Manitowoc Minute came from.
It's funny because I don't really hear that when you're just talking normally to me, but
no,
it's still, and go ahead.
I literally had a voice coach because I had a very thick accent. Well, I say very thick, but I didn't think it was ever very thick. I just think that there are certain words that really stuck out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
As far as the accent goes, you know, especially because I was doing it in Texas at this point. So it was very different from that. And that was after having like a voice coach to help me do it. So I was trying to talk normally. I just failed enough times. And then when I started doing it comedically, you know, everything with comedy is you kind of take a truth and you heighten it.
Right.
Not everything, but that's one tactic for comedy. So what I did is I took the issues I had with journalism. I mean, I literally had somebody say I couldn't do voiceovers because of my accent, you know?
Wow.
And so I was annoyed about that, but I was annoyed by that for quite a while. And that was sort of the basis for this stand-up bit. And I think that's the cool thing about comedy is your imperfections are perfect for comedy, you know, because imperfections are relatable to somebody usually.
Absolutely. No, that's a great point. Well said. I love you did a bit too where you talked about on stage, and I think you said it was a professor who told you he was the one that pointed out where you realized you had an accent. Because that's how it is. Like we go somewhere and I never thought I had an accent. And I spent part of my life in Chicago, so I think I have a hybrid. But you always think you talk normally and they're like, oh man, where are you from? Like you've offended them or something, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's certain words they'll give you away, or you start drinking and then you go like, I think we're always trying to sort of adapt to our surroundings. And unless you start drinking, then you forget about it and you kind of go back to sort of your baseline accent, right. You know, so.
Yeah, you sounded like a surfer 2 minutes ago. What happened, man? You sound like Rick Moranis from Honey. That's funny.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you see it with your friends with Southern accents too. You know, they kind of talk standard, but then they'll say like a couple phrases and you're like, oh yeah. You're not from here.
So let me ask you this. You've done really well with the accent, poking fun at your home state and all that. I made a film a few years ago and I had characters that had Wisconsin accents and people like chastised me. Like, we don't talk like that. Like, why are they embracing it for you and coming after it?
Well, not everybody does. Not everybody
really?
Does.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there are some people that think that like, we don't talk like that.
Yeah.
And they're usually saying like, you know, we don't talk like that. I tell you what, you know, that's garbage right there. I think, I mean, from a comedy perspective, I'm doing like the Manitowoc Man character is very sketch, kind of a sketch comedy thing where you're not exactly always doing it the exact way people say it. You know, it's not always the most grounded thing intentionally. You kind of exaggerate to highlight the comedy on it.
Yeah.
And so... And that's one thing. But the other thing is that there are definitely people that talk like, have even thicker accents than the most exaggerated parts of my accent. And I know that because I'm related to some of them. So, you know, but everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And I can't tell anyone how to feel about one thing or another. But, you know, it is kind of what it is.
My guest is Charlie Behrens, the creator of the Manitowoc Minute and all kinds of incredible content that you can find all over social media. You are on a tour right now, Charlie. You want to tell us about where you're going to be? Where can people see you? The good old fashioned tour?
Yeah. I'm on a little bit of a break this summer, but I'm going to be I'm going to be up north at the Lumberjack Festival, Chippewa Falls in July, doing the fair up there. And then come fall, I'm going to be back on tour officially and we'll kind of be a little bit of everywhere. So if you check it out, it's charliebehrens.com or manitowocminute.com. You just click on the tour section of either of those websites. Thanks for letting me plug. That was really nice of you.
Yeah. What are we doing here? You know? So you talked about like the people that are in your lives that you got this accent from, or these characters from. Where does the Manitowoc Minute character come from? Just from working in news? And did you like bring characters from your family into that when you created it?
Yeah. The, the character itself is a hodgepodge of family and friends that I knew with very, you know, just kind of salt of the earth Wisconsin people. It's right. A bit of a hodgepodge. My grandpa Bob, it was a big influence on it. And the reason I called it the Manitowoc Minute, not because I'm from Manitowoc, although I got family from Trivers. Ed Burns, the guy who made invented the ice cream sundae, by the way, related to him. Great, great, great uncle. Oh, nice. Somewhere in there. My grandma knows the full story. I get the details wrong. But there was a guy at a stand-up show I was doing. Actually, I was doing it in Los Angeles. That fellow was from Manitowoc. And I had just gotten done doing this great set at the Comedy Store, and I was a little bummed out because, like, it was a great set, but only, like, 50 people saw it. One of the people who saw it was that guy from Manitowoc. So the next day, I was trying to do, like, almost a sketch, the first Manitowoc Minute, but I didn't have a name for it, so I named it after that guy. And that's where the name Manitowoc came from, in the Manitowoc Minute.
That's great. Is one of the coolest things about the level of fame you've reached that you get to cook brats with Christian Yelich in a YouTube video?
I mean, yeah, that is really nice. I get spoiled. I really do. I've gotten so many cool opportunities that I can't even believe. I can't believe that they've happened. And I can't almost not believe they're happening when they're happening. You know, I feel very lucky.
It's a What to Watch Thursday here at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great to have you with us. If you are on the stream watching us, we welcome you, and we will be going live back to our old affiliates. I should say typical affiliates at 8:05 when Abby Novak will join us to talk about Light the Night. Appleton and Johnny Beaner will join us shortly thereafter. So great to have you with us tonight. Let us know what you're going to watch this weekend. Are you headed to the theater? Are you going to sit home and crack a cold one and watch some TV? We want to know. We'll read your suggestions at 8:20. So this has been an interesting week, Conrad.
It definitely has.
Yeah. I feel like I'm just talking to you right now. So let me know what you're going to watch this weekend, Conrad.
You know, I don't know yet.
You don't know yet? All right. Well, you better have it by 8:20.
I will, yes.
All right. Oh, he's getting a call. Sweet. All right, right now we are going to go to another one of our favorite interviews and one of our favorite guests, Mike Toomey. Mike and I talked about recently on the show about being on the road and sharing road stories with each other, and here's part of that interview right now. Do you have any crazy road stories, Mike?
Yeah, you know what? Because I have one that's really funny, because when you kind of told me earlier that we might be talking about this, I thought of one, and I won't mention the other comedian's name. You know him. I know him. It was a trip. You know that routinely when we live in Chicago, you know, we would do these Michigan trips, right? And
right.
One particular time, I was working in Detroit for the week, and the guy that I was working with lived in the city. And where I lived, you would have to, the first 45 minutes of his trip would be to come by my house and then go up to Detroit, right?
Okay.
So I say to this guy, how about you drive to my house, leave your car here, and I'll drive us both the next 4 hours up to Detroit. So he's like, no, I kind of want to just drive by myself. I'm like, okay, we're both going there. So, okay, fine. We both take our cars to Detroit, and I call him like before the first show. Hey, you want to ride up to the club from the hotel? No, I kind of want to drive by myself. Well, what he was really doing is he was keeping his options open in case, you know, he was able to I guess we hook up, I guess we can say.
Yeah.
So every night he and I would caravan from the hotel to the club and then back. Right.
Yeah.
Nothing, you know. And then like about the third night of the week, his car breaks down at the McDonald's drive-thru. It's not drivable. So he has to take it to a place. And then I have to drive him home at the end of the week, all the way back past my house, another 45 minutes to where he lives. So an extra hour and a half of driving when I pretty much said, look, I'll drive us. You know, he had like a beater, like a really old car that, wouldn't surprise you if it got wrecked. And of course, what he thought was going to happen, of course, did not happen.
Right. Probably somebody might have taken one look at his car and said, yeah, no, thanks.
Right. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, I don't. So okay. You're going to have to tell me after the show. But I will. That does remind me of a story. Just comics that were like the guys that were hounds on the road. Yeah. I remember two friends of ours went up to the UP and they drove together. And one of them said, and the one guy said, I'm driving right back to Chicago after the show. I'm not staying. I'm not talking to girls, whatever. 10 o'clock, we're out of there. And it was like in Marquette, Michigan or something like that. And they were going to turn around, drive right back. So
it's a long ride.
It's a long ride. So the one guy goes up, he's done. He starts flirting with this girl. And then our other friend goes up and finishes. He goes, all right, let's go. And the guy says, you know what? I think I'm going to stick around. He's like, I told you, I'm not sticking around. I got to get back to Chicago. He's like, that's okay. Go ahead. I'll find my way back. He goes, how are you going to get back? He goes, well, this girl said she could drive me. There's a Greyhound about an hour away and I could catch a train in Madison, Wisconsin. It was like this crazy, like, and he's telling this to the other comic and the other comic just looks at him and goes, get in the car right now. And then like an hour into their drive back, he looks at him, the comic that was hitting on the girl looks at him and says, yeah, that was a good decision, man. Thanks for telling me. Oh, that's funny.
No, I was going to say, what's so funny about situations like that is sometimes you'll end up driving with somebody who you don't know just because they'll like call you and say, hey, can you pick this guy up on the first stop and then do the tour with him this particular week? And you don't know what you're going to get, you know, like
it's a big ask. Part,
everybody's pretty cool. But I got in a car with one guy who the entire time, all he did was criticize everything. What I listened to on the radio, what music I had with me, like my strategies on parenting, which by the way, I had two kids at the time and he had none, but he knew more about it than I did. And it just every single thing, you know, he had a comment on it. And I'm like, you realize I'm driving you everywhere right now. like I said, we were driving. I'm like, hey, I want to stop at a store because my kids collect these action figures. And I thought there's a couple they don't have. Maybe since I'm in a different part of the, you know, different state, maybe they have. He's like, you know, when you do that, they only like you because you buy them stuff. Oh my God. So they're not happy to see you when you come home. They're just hoping you bring them toys.
Well, it's nice to get good advice, Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
What, good man.
Yeah. You're driving him. That's great.
Ooh, it's something magical. It's in the air, it's in my blood, it's rushing on. I don't need no reason, don't be control. I fly so high, no ceiling when I'm in my zone. Cause I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. You're more like the way we rock it. So don't stop, stop. When you dance, 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 feel good, good creeping up on you, so just dance, dance.
So don't stop that, that under the lights when everything goes. Nowhere to hide when I'm getting you close. When we move where you already know. So just imagine. But you, when you dance, 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 feel the good, good creeping up on you. So just dance, 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 come on. All those things I shouldn't do, but you dance.